I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's get it.
Now, it's the rundown presented by Trippett Insurance. Trippett Insurance at 6462 Stage Road in Bartlett. Depend on your local insurance agent. Trippett Insurance at 901-365-1472. Online at trippettagency.com. The rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Memphis-Houston yesterday on CBS. The Tigers get a crack at the number one team in America, the number one team in all of the land, the final showdown in the regular season, at least, as conference mates. The game opened at a pick'em.
Thank you, because that's the first time I've laughed this show. We've had to be very serious in the first hour, and rightfully so.
Well, it was a pick'em, Memphis pick'em, plus five at the crib. You know what I mean? I do think I was validated in my read of the game, which we'll touch on here momentarily. But a few things to
I love that some of our listeners tweeted you, though, the line.
They did, yes, they did.
Saturday. And thank you, listeners.
And I kept my word, and I bet it. You know that. So I said on the show, if I'm getting this many, I'm betting it. I did bet it. Could have gone bigger. Didn't. That's fine. That's not what we're here. The bet got to the window. No sweat, really. You know?
Yes. Ended with that you were right.
Yes. Well, again, I had it as a pick'em, and it really was that. I mean, Houston hit a ridiculous shot, a contested shot at the buzzer to pull away with the victory here. Dude, it was a classic game.
Yeah.
It was a classic game.
I would say so.
It was
the Tigers were down 9 at the half. Do you realize that?
I do, yeah.
The most they've been down all year at the half.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Saw that in the game notes.
I did not realize they had not.
How about that?
Trailed from the, but I guess that makes, they weren't down more than that against St. Louis?
I don't think, not at the half, I don't think.
Okay, that's the only game that I would have thought.
The 9-point difference was the largest deficit the Tigers have faced all season at the half. Is that good enough for you? That's from Memphis.
I mean, I believe you when
you
say it.
There you go, bro.
Yeah, they had actually pulled to within 4 at the half against St. Louis.
You need to go see it for yourself, though.
Well, I was just curious how
just to that point, though, it's so impressive, the job that Memphis did in adjusting.
Yep.
Because Houston's offense had gotten going there in that first half.
No doubt. I mean, look, it was pretty simple basketball, right? Like, they were just getting open in the corner in that friggin' – if you're looking at the basket, it had been the right corner every damn time. Tremont Mark was just slipping through the defense, and he was making the shot. I mean, he was just making the shot there in that same corner, and they attacked again, first half. And then in the second half, like, again, I know Memphis lost this. Like, it sounds so homerish. It's like, but that's the number one team in the country that you just took to the buzzer. And so I think it's totally within bounds to give props to what Penny did. A couple things Penny did that made a huge impact in the second half. So I guess it would have been the second half, or maybe the end of the first. But he went to a press. He went to a press on Houston, and it did wonders. You know, Memphis has the length. They have the athleticism. And that, I think, allowed Memphis to get a little bit more. I mean, there were several turnovers that Memphis forced. I think of the last one there, like sort of the last minute of the game, right? Demaria Franklin ends up forcing that turnover out of bounds there. And Houston just, you know, they were frustrated by it. I don't think they see a lot of teams in this league that have the athletes that Memphis does and are as well conditioned as Memphis is. And I think they really struggle with that. And I give Penny total credit for – sometimes Penny will go with the press when he doesn't have to. Sometimes he'll just do it sort of liberally, and it doesn't really make sense, and it just leads to easy baskets for the other team. In this case, I thought it was a perfect deployment of the press, and it worked because it made Houston think. And, you know, I mean, DeAndre got it. Now I'm using shorthand. I'm a huge fan now, right?
Yeah, you're sounding very fanish.
But you know what? I mean, I am. I am a fan. I am a fan of the way they have you know, rallied this season and put themselves in great position to make the NCAA tournament yet again, which they should. They're now a weighted average of a 9 seed over at bracketmatrix.com. So, yeah, like, I just thought Memphis showed really well, and it was the kind of performance, even that came in an L, that should make you feel very good about Memphis's chances to make some noise. You know, if they get the right matchup, if they get the right seed, depending on who they have and who they'll see in that second game. If we're talking about a 10 seed, I'm not really worried about any of the sevens as I see it right now. If they're talking about an 8-9, yeah, it'll depend on the 8, and then it'll depend on the 1. But look, this is an experienced team. Kendrick Davis should be nothing but proud of the way he performed yesterday. I mean, that dude was an absolute warrior, hitting that 3, hitting the layup at the end there.
I guess he's Conference Player of the Year.
I mean, who deserves it more than he does?
You just say Houston's best player, whichever one you want to pick, Sass or whoever, just because
their numbers aren't better than Kendrick's.
What they've pulled off? No, we've looked at them; they're not.
Yeah.
But I'm saying you're going to keep giving.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that finishes second, the player of the year, he did it for SMU as well last year.
Well, Memphis would do this with under
Josh.
I'm with you.
He's been the best player in the league.
So that's who you got to give it to. Like, Josh would suffer from balance, right? Like, Memphis would always finish first into USA, but how many years do they have the Conference Player of the Year? I think Will Barton probably did it. But non-Will Barton years, you'd have, like, Joe would be at 14, and then, you know, Adonis would be at 11, and then, you know, you'd have Jaren at 10, and there was no clear guy. And I think that's kind of the case for Houston. Like, they're a team. They're a system.
Just Sasser and Shed first team?
Yeah, exactly.
With DeAndre and Kendrick?
Yeah. And then pick somebody from Tulane, I guess. I'm fine with that.
And you probably got to give Coach of the Year, I guess, to Kelvin. But Ron Hunter, that's their first winning season in years.
They fell apart, unfortunately, here at the end.
They did.
So that's why.
I just think in Houston did not.
If they would have finished second, he would have gotten it. But they did not. Memphis indeed finished second. So.
Back to the game. I thought Penny did a heck of a job in terms of the second half adjustments. You go up 5 there late. But when it happened, I wondered. When he put DeAndre Williams back in with the 4 fouls, at that point, Malco, who had given you everything, I can't believe we haven't said his name yet. Like, Malco was battling. So was Chandler Lawson. At that point, though, Malco was bushed. And I wondered right there if you could stick with Chandler Lawson a little while longer to at least get under the 4-minute timeout, because when you put DeAndre in there at that point, it gave Houston someone to attack because he had the 4 fouls.
And they did.
And they did.
Every time.
And they did. And so, I know what he was thinking. We're up 5. I'm going to go put my second best player on my team back in, and that's going to help us. Malco had to come out. But I just wondered there, because of the way how well you were playing, how well Chandler Lawson was playing. I thought about it in real time. You know, is this going to come because the way you were thinking about it, frankly, was, well, it's 6 minutes or so left. Is that is he going to foul out? Is this too much time?
Yep.
But what it did was give Houston's offense a chance at something to attack.
Exactly.
And
right.
So and kickstarted them away. I thought
they're too good.
Penny made the mistake that blew the game here. But I thought that a decision there that hurt you a little bit after some great decisions, obviously, to get them back in the game. You know, recover from a 9-point halftime deficit.
Yeah.
Take a 5-point lead.
Yeah.
Like, they were rolling.
Yeah, no, I
So you got to give him credit for that, too. But I thought, in an instance where you're trying to add on,
right.
I get where he was thinking.
Yep.
It ended up costing you in a way. Even though DeAndre he made a key block there late. Like, he made a couple defensive plays.
Yep.
But that was not a quality DeAndre Williams game in terms of rebounding and points.
No, it was not. Like, I think about those Houston games last year. He was much better, right, in the sweep.
No
like,
question.
Against Houston last season.
But a little bit easier, too, probably, when you got Durin out there for him to be that.
Yeah.
Right? Last year.
I mean, I just, you know, again, I know they lost, man, but they battled their ass off.
Yeah, year.
Chandler was out there balling, hitting threes, low
Lawson and Dandridge to me were the story.
Dandridge had one of his best games of his life. I mean, I thought it was an and I hate that it didn't finish with a win. I hate that.
You got 72-73 in there. You got a full house.
Yes.
Sixth largest crowd in FedEx Forum history, in Tigers history.
And it felt like it. It really did. I mean, it was an awesome atmosphere.
This wasn't one of those where it feels like there's 16,000 in the building, and you find out after the season it's less than 10.
Right.
This was an actually full house that was packed. And Jim Nantz kept going, you know, talking about how crazy the crowd was and everything else. Even on the stripe thing worked.
Yeah, it did.
Big time.
It was cool. And they gave you a T-shirt. They gave you like a T-shirt at your seat.
Did you wear yours?
I already knew what I needed to wear going into it. Uh-huh. So I was compliant.
Well, you had talked like you weren't going to do that, like you were a real bad man. Well, but I'm glad you fell into the spirit.
I wanted to wear the blue, so I got a blue section. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do the white, so I didn't do the white. I did the blue. So I was totally happy with that. And I was totally
when you're in it. Does it look like anything? Because on television, you have to be pulled away from it. You see the pictures pulled away. You can see it. You can see the straight. It actually looked pretty good.
Not really. You don't really notice much when you're sitting in the seat, you know.
I thought they pulled it off pretty good. Especially with the court and the stripes, the scratches there. Yeah, I thought it looked pretty good altogether.
I think this is a team that is absolute, and you guys know, like,
well, here we go. What's coming? I feel Sweet 16.
Well, I'm not going to put a ceiling on it, but I do think if they get the right matchup, they're dangerous. I do.
That's what I was talking about Sunday. It's just the draw, because when you got a Kendrick Davis and a DeAndre, you figure, man, you got a chance to make some noise, and especially again with the way the role players are playing right now.
Exactly, like, right.
But the draw, John, is literally the key.
Yes, it is.
Because you talked about it. You get an 8-9, and it's Illinois on the other side, and you got Kansas as the one.
Yep.
You feel a certain kind of, this is going to be tough.
Yes.
But you mess around and say you're a 10.
Yep.
You get some 7 seed you're not scared of in the twos Marquette. You know, you feel real, you could make a run through that.
Yep.
So, again, I go back to now, so critical. What's critical now is the draw. And I'm not sure, we need to discuss this. What does a win over Houston in an AAC tournament final get you in terms of seeding? And then what does, if they do go 2-1 in the tournament, lose to Houston in the final, where are you when it's all said and done?
Yeah, that's a good
question.
Probably
need to discuss that here.
Don't know. I mean, I truly...
If you're a 9 now, if we're going off the bracket matrix average, Lenardi's got you at 9. Now, Palm and the Athletic got you still 10, but that average has gone up to,
if you go 2-1,
to a 9.
I think you stay a 9. If you're a 9 now, I think you stay a 9. I don't think you move up. I don't think you move down. I think you probably stay a 9. If you lose, if you win one, lose one, go 1-1, you lose in the semis, you probably drop down to a 10. That's kind of where I would be with it. And it's weird, like the idea is like to be the high, but in this case, you kind of don't want to be the highest seed. You know, you want to be as low as possible because, yeah, you might get put out to in Vegas or whatever, you know, or California, wherever. I don't know where the sites are, Jason. I don't have them in front of me. But, like, how many people are going to go anyway to a first-round game for the University of Memphis, right? I'm not really that concerned about it. Right now, Lunardi has them
Lunardi's got them as a 9.
As a 9 in the Midwest in Kansas City.
Right, he's the one that's got the. He changed the Illinois matchup though, didn't he? It's another
Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a winnable game, but then you
got Kansas.
We have Kansas and Kansas City. Like, who wants to? I don't want any part of that. Do you?
No, Kansas City. Heck no.
That's a disaster.
That's Michigan State and Detroit, or where you were a few years ago.
Squash job, most likely, right?
Yes,
I just kind of see that one as like 78-60.
That's where I go back to it. You can have a great team playing well. You get a draw like that, doesn't matter. You're dead.
Yeah. So you got to get out of this particular bracket. Like right now. You know, honestly, you want to get back into the side with Bama, because that's a matchup you feel good about on a neutral site, you know?
If you're going in as an 8 or 9.
Yeah. Like, if I'm going to be an 8 or 9, I want to be one of those. So, because I think Memphis could beat Alabama on a neutral site. I mean, they got enough going on as it is. Memphis played them to a bucket in Tuscaloosa. We know how dependent they are on the three-point shot.
To the point about draw, the Athletics got Memphis as a 10 going against Duke. As a 7.
That's a tough matchup. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Like right now, Lenardi's got A&M, Iowa, Kentucky, and Northwestern as 7s. I feel good about Memphis' chances against all 4 of those teams.
See, I'd rather be a 10.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to map out here. Can I get 10 going 2-1? Or are they stuck on, Are they a 9 at that point?
No, it's actually fun. It's fun. This makes it fun because I think there's a range. I think Memphis could probably get as high as an 8 or as low as a 10. You know, so there is a little bit of a range there. And again, if you're an 8 or a 9, how good is that 8, 9? Because the first 8 is going to have the weakest one.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that does matter. And I guess in this case, the weakest one would be Alabama, right? Or UCLA. Who's it'd be UCLA. You'd play
They're
UCLA.
They're the ones that just came up there.
Yeah. So that would be, you'd be in the West region then at that point. If you're the best 8, you would be in the West against UCLA, just in terms of the resume, even though I think UCLA is better than Alabama. That would be a fun matchup, UCLA and Memphis. I think that could be a very close game. I like UCLA, but
I don't like Jaime. He's a load to deal with.
He would have DeAndre.
You already know.
Yeah, he would. But I mean, that's any good big man's gonna have DeAndre in foul trouble. It doesn't even, like, Houston doesn't even have a good big man, and he was in foul trouble. So that's just gonna be part of the engagement, man. He's just going to have to find a way to stay on the floor.
The thing is, if Malco and Chandler can give you minutes like yesterday, you can protect DeAndre a little more.
You can. You know. Now, Chandler played great, hit a three.
He was fantastic. He hit a couple of threes.
Rebounded the ball, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Malco, too, your man.
Yeah, man. He was big time. Because, again, you're getting, like, scratched. You're getting hit in the chest. You're getting, you know, the side. I mean, Houston is like a boxer when it comes to those rebounds. And, man, Memphis was coming down with some tough – man, DeMario had a couple tough boards. Like, again, this is what you talk about. You've got an older, experienced guys in the tournament. You know, get a good draw. You don't know what could happen. And maybe we look up in Sweet 16 that I was mocked for early in the season, and I grant you, it looked bad at times.
But then you went the other way. You said the sky's falling out. They lost to Tulane.
That's right.
And so we've had to bring you back to the middle.
At that time, it felt like it to me. And then, again, I'll give Penny full credit. I mean – He has rallied the team really ever since.
And your emotions have carried us through this season.
Yes.
31 regular season games.
31 regular season games are in the books. Memphis is in. Don't worry, Jeff Goodman. Don't worry your sweet little head. Memphis is in.
Can you get him another Memphis cap? That one looks a little old and, you know.
Yeah.
It's not very swaggy.
I do. I need to send him.
Yeah, he needs like a new one, like the black one with the, you know, with the Memphis logo and the Tigers. But the black one's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
He needs an update for the Tigers' second straight year of tournament.
For sure. But again, I mean, that was the number one team in the country. Memphis just took the buzzer.
Don't tell me that, because now you're 0-11 against number one.
You are, but I mean, I don't know how you can't be anything other than proud about the way Memphis
fought yesterday. Of course, proud, John.
Well, I you sound annoyed.
I'm annoyed by you trying to make it a W.
Well, it's not a W, but I mean,
you've been very flowery about it. Like that's why I took it back to some nuts and bolts, because you were getting giddy over there and goosebumps. I realized that if you were there yesterday, I imagine it felt pretty special.
It did.
50-year anniversary of 72-7, right. Like all that going together, the way
crowd
they played in the second half.
Crowd was awesome.
For the first time ever, probably for the first time in a very long time, crowd is a weapon for you.
Yeah.
That crowd became a weapon in the second half when Memphis grabbed Uncle Mo and looked like it was about to win the game.
And then Houston took that thing right back, right? And then they got up 3 or 5 or something. And then Memphis punched back. Like, I give them full credit. Like, it was just a classic game. One team has to win. Houston's the number one team in the country for a reason. They got dogs. I thought the whistle in the first half, by the way, was abysmal. I don't know if you were up. I mean, I know Memphis shot however many free throws, but –
Memphis ended up shooting more free throws, that, you know.
I just thought the refs
I did early, and the emotional, the fan in me, much like you, early in that first half, I didn't think Memphis was getting a good enough whistle. Thought they were calling too many. It felt like ticky-tacks on us.
No question.
Since I'm going to turn to my fan side now, but somebody's got to be here to keep it straight.
No, look, Memphis didn't win the game, but they certainly didn't do themselves any kind of disservice.
When we going to beat one?
I mean, I did that. How many teams
is this just us? As a program?
I guarantee you it's
not. Can't never have the big one?
I mean, did you really expect Memphis to win? Like, did you?
When they were up 56-51?
Yeah, there's a lot of time, though, left. It's not like it was.
I thought
like
it was magic. I thought the power of the 72-73, was Riley in that thing?
Riley was there.
The power of Riley is up in there. Penny had made all the adjustments.
And she was loving
it. You were rolling with DeAndre Williams off the floor. I said, this is happening. Chandler Lawson's hitting threes.
Mm-hmm.
Malco is playing for you.
Yeah.
How about it right now? Can we get the chant going for Malco from you? one more year.
Nah.
One more year.
I don't even
John
know if he
can do it.
John won't
even participate in
it. I don't even know if it's possible.
No, they said he's got one more. He's got a choice he can make. I know he was among those honored,
I encourage everyone to do what's best for them. That's what I do.
John will not participate in the one more year chant from Malcolm Dandridge. Let it be noted in part of the record.
I wish him the best. Whatever, if he comes back, I certainly support him. Kelvin Sampson was very complimentary, by the way, after the game.
I didn't like it. I'm going to miss playing him.
Right.
Surely is.
You will in the Big 12. It ain't going to be so easy, is it? It ain't going
to. I mean, that part, you don't think he's going to get in there and be just fine after a year or two? My whole point is that it miss him, and, hey, can we still play a season? Yeah. Not calling. What did I tell you last week? That man ain't picking up.
There ain't no reason to. I mean,
he's going to get quad one after quad one after quad one in the Big 12.
Yeah, dude.
He's going to need in non-conference are wins. So why would he schedule Memphis?
Yeah, like Oklahoma.
To help us.
Oklahoma has 6 quad one wins. You realize that, right? And they're horrible. They're awful. But they play the Big 12, so they get all these at-bats. There's no reason for Houston to schedule Memphis.
That's the first time all season Memphis lost to holding opponent after holding opponent under 70.
UCF, and Cincinnati, certainly UCF, they may go winless next season in the Big 12. I mean, that's going to be a real culture shock for that program. They're going to be a bottom feeder.
Well, that's why they need to move on from Dawkins now.
Yeah.
Just, you know, start with a foundation. Somebody's going to come in there and set a foundation.
Cincinnati, who knows? I mean, I don't think they'll threaten anytime soon. You know, they weren't threatening the American. So, I think Houston's going to be find it tough. I think Houston's going to – because, look, you got Kansas. You got Kansas State. We'll see on Iowa State, like, is Otzelberger, like, the guy there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they just beat the hell out of Baylor. You got Baylor, you know. I would say at least 3 of those 4 are ahead of you. Baylor's ahead of you. Kansas is ahead of you. Kansas State is ahead of you. TCU – you know, that's it. That's another tough one, right? Like, those are all tough. So I'd say for sure Baylor and Kansas. And Kansas State's got the coach of the year in Jerome Tang. They're building something pretty special there. Houston is third best at best in the Big 12 now. And you're still talking about teams like, you know, Iowa State, West Virginia there with Huggins, TCU we haven't mentioned. So, you know. It's not going to be any – it'll be a rude awakening. I think Kelvin is aware of that, right? But it's not going to be this jaunt to the finish line where you're 30-4 or 32-3 every single year. It's going to be rough. But in terms of the game yesterday, it was an awesome, awesome game, awesome environment. Sucks that Memphis couldn't come away with the win, but that's the way she goes sometimes. It was a proud day, I thought, for the program. Falling just short at the end of the season to the number one team in the country.
Next story.
Grizzlies lost last night, 135-129 after scoring 51 in the third.
Damn.
Hold on, you're going to have to give me some time to get through this one. Because I went to bed last night just knowing Grizzlies had that taken care of.
Yeah.
It's been a long day. We've been up early on Sunday morning. The emotions of the Tigers' loss, obviously. And so I'm saying after Tyus Jones just goes absolutely nuts in a third quarter in which the Grizzlies outscore the Clippers 51-30 and just take command of the game. They got it. I'm heading off to bed. Honey, let's go turn it in. We'll talk about it with John in the morning. Actually, it'll be a great thing to talk about because it'll give us something positive in terms of the basketball teams that down over the weekend. 38-17, they were promptly outscored in the fourth and, again, lose by 6. We know they did it without Ja Morant. We discussed that at length over the first hour, and they'll play at least the next game without Ja Morant. The Lakers on Tuesday, though we know it could very well be for longer than that without Ja Morant. The other part about this weekend, and in addition to this loss, obviously you lost to the Denver Nuggets, was that you lose Brandon Clark for the season. And even discussed how impactful that could be for the Grizzlies going forward, how impactful it will be. Because, again, you're talking about one of the most efficient guys in the league and certainly one of the most efficient role players, bench guys in the league, now being out for a year. You know, how long that takes him to get back, if he's even right next year, all of that's a question and huge for these Grizzlies, who, you know, were just hoping a few days ago everything was cool, because really the only guy you felt like you were missing was Steven Adams. My, what a difference a weekend makes, obviously. So it was not good news. Now you're looking to salvage this road trip by going 2-2 with a win over the Lakers on Tuesday out at Crypto. Again, the NBA is investigating this gun incident, or this flashing of a gun on Ja Morant's Instagram Live. So who knows what additional in terms of punishments could come. We do know that there's, you know, we've seen it now. There's been stories written. You go on a plane with a gun, if that is the case, you could be looking at a 50-game suspension, according to the CBA. And so hopefully that is not the case for Memphis in this situation. Whose gun was it? All of that now being looked at. You do wonder, though, that because, and I brought it up with John, because the NBA has already investigated one gun incident with you, as it, you know, stemmed from that Indiana Pacers game and Devontae Pack and the Jaws friend and being suspended, everything else, if, you know, with this one, if they'll be forced to look in maybe a little harder, to dig a little deeper, to see if it's got an issue here. Again, it's one thing, it happens once, you're talking about a face of the league, future star, face of the league, and you say, you know what, now we didn't see anything on video, whatever else, nothing here. But it's another thing when you have these constants, so you wonder if there's somebody in that NBA front office that, you know, how hard they'll be looking at this, because you have to. Mm-hmm. You can't afford to continue to have one, and then you have a league or people criticizing the league for saying, hey, you guys turned a blind eye to this. Yeah, you can't have that either. So, you know, how much tougher is this investigation going to be as they attempt to find out the most important thing right at this point is whether Ja Morant had that gun on that team plane, because, like we said, mm-hmm. that goes against the collective bargaining agreement. Mm-hmm. Very severe punishments for those things. So, again, yeah, Grizzlies in a bad place on the court.
That was a horrible weekend.
Yeah.
That was a horrible weekend.
Two losses, lose BC. Ja Morant comes on Instagram Live with a gun on Saturday morning.
That's about as bad a weekend as you could have. And, you know, now
we're sitting here with saying on Friday, talking about going 2-1, and it looked fine.
Yep.
Right? Maybe you lose the Denver game, but you win both Clippers games.
Yep.
Both Clippers games, the Clippers and the Lakers games, both LA games.
And by the way, like, your next five are pretty brutal. I mean, you're at the Lakers, who are desperate. You're playing the Warriors at home. We know what the Warriors do. We'll see who they decide to play, who they don't. You got two games back-to-back with the Mavericks, who are really trying to find something and come together. They're going to be desperate, too. And then you're at Miami, you know, who's playing better when Jimmy's in the lineup. I know they had a really tough one on Friday night with a ridiculous Julius Randle buzzer beater. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Good grief. They were draped all.
He picked that ball up and shot it to Jimmy, and everybody draped all over.
Ridiculous
shot. Yeah, they're on fire.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, are the Knicks? I mean, look, Brunson, dude, is a monster.
I know he's brought Randle back to
he has
professional ball player. Let's care
that's
about
exactly
this.
Right. That's exactly right.
Because last year he didn't after a while.
I think this is a very, very difficult stretch, and it would not surprise me if the Grizzlies went 1-4.
Well, the problem is Sacramento's just one behind you now.
Yeah. Like, it just would not shock me. Your depth has taken a major, major blow, and you're not as deep as you were a year ago. You don't have DeAnthony Melton. You don't have Kyle Anderson. Now you're starting, you know. Last night was a function of Dylan's suspension, but still, I mean, you're leaning on guys like David Roddy and John Conchar now, you know, who are very much probably not ready to play the roles they're about to be asked to play. So it just kind of fell apart at the seams in one weekend, it feels like, for the Grizzlies. Not to say that they can't, you know, find a way. I mean, we've seen them do it before, but it's hard to compare it too much to last season when Ja missed all that time, because they were deeper. They were a deeper team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we trusted their depth more than we do this time. You know, I
100%.
Don't.
I mean, regular season, you got Melton, you got Kyle Anderson. Yeah. You can cover up for a lot.
Yeah.
Tyus playing the way he did during that 20-5 stretch without Ja.
The question just becomes, can the Grizzlies hold on to home court? You know, I think that's.
I don't think they're falling out of a top four. It may come down. Remember when you and I were doing that over and under, we both thought three? And then for a while, it looked like, nah, I don't think Sacramento's going to catch them. Well, now you've given Sacramento a chance. That's the one to me, is if you fall out of three. Because remember, two gets you first round through two series.
Yeah.
That's why it's critical you stay at two.
I think four is probably their floor. I mean, I just,
but I don't think they're dropping far beyond
three. They're 5 games ahead of the Warriors, mm-hmm. right, at 5. So I think four, they're only 3 up on the Suns.
You know, so and that's do. I mean, the way the Suns are playing right now, they're lights out with Kevin Durant in the lineup, as you might expect.
Yeah, did you see last night? All up in the Booker and Luka after KD hit the shot.
Well,
They went forehead to forehead.
Yeah, that doesn't help the Grizz. It just makes the Mavs more desperate, you know, to hold on to their.
They can't stop anything.
No, they can't. They can't.
That's the problem.
But if they can't stop a team, it might be these Grizzlies. I mean, unfortunately, without Ja and Brandon Clark and, you know, it's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask.
Man, Tyus went off in the third. Wasted.
And he went off. He was
wasted.
Awesome. He was awesome. So, yeah, no, I don't know. It's it was just like, damn, like the hits kept coming.
You're right about that bench. I mean, Santi gives you 9 and 20 minutes. Zaire, 6 minutes, nothing. Conchar, 5 and 20. And he got 15 and 29 from Kennard and his return back to crypto.
Yeah, and that's like
there ain't. I mean, no BC in there.
And he'd give you double digits. I mean, he would.
Mm.
So, yeah, and by the way, it's an Achilles, so you just know that's going to be a year recovery. Like that,
it feels like most of next year. Like you're right here now.
Yes.
Toward the end of the you got 19 games left, something like that.
Absolutely, it's just brutal.
If you got him back for the playoffs next year, it feel like it was a
exactly. And that's probably news. What they're targeting. But, yeah, man, it was like, damn. It's like just.
Was there any good Grizz news over the weekend? Not one little iota? We didn't even get Steven Adams back.
How did Kenneth Lofton play in South Haven? Y'all got some numbers for me there?
I thought I saw him hugging Jokic after the game or something. He was with the team, I think, maybe.
Yeah, Steven Adams is even back. And he's not going to play tomorrow either, right? Didn't somebody already report that? Damn.
We need to know. I'm pretty sure. I think you're right, though.
We need some positivity. Give us some positivity, man.
With the Grizzlies?
Yeah.
There ain't much right now, bro.
That home record looks so good.
Yeah, Steven's out for tomorrow night.
Yeah, man.
No, was that Clippers? I don't know that there's been a ruling on tomorrow.
I saw something about Tuesday.
Yeah, this is Clippers still from Grizz PR, so we're still – maybe someone else has reported it, but at least I'm from Grizz PR. I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
I thought the optimism was all there for back half of road trip.
Was it the back half?
Steven Adams, yes. We're on the back half, bro. We're on the last game of it.
Yeah. That's where we passed the back half point. Is everything okay? Are we going to have to start asking real questions about this? Because it's been a lot longer than it felt like.
What do you think about that weird statement about he'd be away from team instead of just saying he'd been suspended? That bother you at all?
No, not really.
You see Dylan get his 16 tech after? We didn't even discuss that.
Yeah.
Are they wilding out right now?
Yeah. Drew Hill said feeling he gets from Grizz locker room, Steven Adams is going to be out Tuesday. That's why I referenced that. But, yeah, man, it's been a rough month. Been a rough couple weeks here for the Grizzlies. I don't know what fixes it. I guess I'd
just keep it to winning weekend. I mean, there was a while that you were just beating Denver. You were holding them to a season low. You were feeling good. I'd say it was a rough weekend.
What the hell?
That may change the entire season.
What the hell happened in the Nuggets game? They were cruising. And then it just fell apart. I mean, 39 points in the second half. Just weird.
Yeah. You know what happened? They're terrible on the road.
Yeah.
And role players play better at home.
Is that so?
Yeah. I don't have that box in front of me, but Kennard wasn't going off in that one, I don't recall.
Confucius said that. Role players play better at home.
Oh, it's real with the Grizzlies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Because, you know, they got a lot of them.
No, real quick, I wanted to pull up that box on that game. They were outscored 33-17 in the fourth quarter. We're seeing the same thing every game where a team is not in that fourth. They're just getting waxed. Mm-hmm. That's what's happened the last two games. But, no, back to the point on what they got in the bench in that game, nothing. You knew Brandon got hurt in that one, but Kennard 6, everybody else 3 or less. What's that?
Mm.
You can go from shine to you know what real fast in this league.
No question.
And the Grizzlies just did a clinic on it over the weekend.
They did. And it doesn't get easier because, I mean, the Lakers beat the Warriors last night.
Yeah, and Steph was back. So
yeah.
Explain that.
Because, I mean, now they're desperate. And you are getting a Lakers team without LeBron, so that's one thing. But you don't know. I mean, you could get a Lakers team that's motivated, or you could get a Lakers team that's just, you know, cruising and coasting. It just depends. Because they lost to the Timberwolves at home on Friday night. So you just don't know what – I think the Timberwolves stink. Like, I think they're a bad basketball team. I don't like them at all. Like, you get down in the fourth quarter, and they have one dude that could actually score without Cat. You know, they need Cat back really, really bad. And they, again, they still got the win over the Lakers, so got to give them some credit. But, you know, who knows? You don't know what kind of Lakers team you're going to get. That said, yeah, it was a rough weekend for sure for the Grizzlies.
Next story.
All right, man, we got some the first domino in the NFL carousel, the quarterback carousel, has fallen. And it is your man, Derek Carr. Derek Carr has agreed to a deal worth a lot of money, by the way, with the New Orleans Saints. So he is headed to the NFC South. I think basically the money comes out to $100 million guaranteed, which is insane given like how poorly he played last season. Four-year deal, $150 million with incentives, $100 million in total guarantees, $70 million effectively fully guaranteed, $60 million at signing. That's fun. $60 million on signing. That is pretty fun.
Yeah.
When that wire hits.
Yeah. I'm wondering if he's going to regret later not going to the Jets.
Maybe. I think
But maybe the Jets are, well, I know he met with them a second time.
Yeah.
But I guess they're playing the Aaron Rodgers, you know, sweepstakes too.
Well, yeah, I don't think he's built for New York media, bro. I think he's exactly where he needs to be, in a smaller market where there's not as, you know, heavy criticism.
Those Saints weapons, most of them, a lot of them are over the hill. Like Alvin.
Alvin may not even play.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have Olave.
Michael Thomas.
Don't know where he's always hurt.
Yeah, I'll give you Olave. He had a great rookie season.
And then they have that other dude. Who's the other man, the water bug dude? What's his name? Shahid.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little speedster there. You know,
it's not the weapons of the Jets.
No, it's not. It's not.
That said, you're in a much easier division.
Yeah.
The NFC South is there for the taking.
Yes. No, it is. And I think that's probably part of the calculation. And he found a team that would pay him $170 million, $150 million. You know, it's his former coach. The coach that drafted him back in the day. So, yeah, look, I think he's above average. He's better than what they had. He's better than Andy Dalton. He's better than Jameis Winston. But, you know, in terms of, does this make them a championship contender? No, it doesn't. Because I don't think he's materially different from Dak. I don't think he's materially different from Kirk, you know, Goff. I just put him in the same category. Like, all those guys are in, like, a big bucket to me. Cousins, Goff, Carr, Dak. Give them all the same. You put them on the same team, they'll all have the same numbers. They'll turn the ball over. They'll throw for 400 yards, whatever, and probably never win a Super Bowl. But I get why the Saints did it. I understand it. It makes sense to me. They have a good defense. Quarterback play was really holding them back last year. Dalton was terrible. God, that guy was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I know they don't have like the weapons that maybe they used to, but you know they still do have something there. And we'll see, you know, what they do in the draft. But now, of course, this leads, you know, to what's going to happen around the rest of, you know, what do the Jets do? The Raiders still are the betting favorite to land Aaron Rodgers. Don't ask me.
Nobody was talking about the Raiders this morning on Get Up. It was all about the Jets are retiring.
Well, you know why they want the New York media wants the Jets to get them. I mean, that's what they eat up. They want the Jets to be relevant, you know, because a lot of
– I get the wants and desires. Yeah, Greenberg Jets fan, yeah, ha, ha.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm talking
yeah.
about – you talking about a betting – nobody was talking about the possibility of it. You're saying it's still the betting favorite, but – nobody was talking about it seriously.
And to be clear, I'm down with it because we have no direction otherwise. But because
you guys would have to bite off. Y'all would need Green Bay to pay some of the salary.
Yep.
That ain't happening.
Yeah. We also like have to give up a ton of picks. That's the other thing. Like, do you really want to do that? Do you really want to give up a ton of picks? So
why has he not said it, John? Why don't you come out and say whether you're playing for Green Bay or you're retiring? Right now, you're out of the darkness retreat.
Yeah.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I think Aaron is just a weird dude. And I think he enjoys the cat and mouse. I think he enjoys playing the game. Like, he enjoys the power of, like, feeling like he has over Green Bay. And it's weird. He's a weird guy. He doesn't talk to his family. You know, he doesn't talk to his brothers, doesn't, like, have any interest in having that relationship. You know,
he wants us to care so badly.
He does.
In the end, he's just an attention seeker.
Yeah.
He just wants you to worship him. I'm not going to do it.
Not going to do it. And Gutekunst and Green Bay, you shouldn't do it anymore either. Stop worshiping at the altar of Aaron.
Joke!
Yeah, because he's only gotten you one title.
One.
How long did y'all make him wait? 3 years behind Brett Favre?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing to Jordan Love? Making him wait longer than that?
Mm-hmm.
There's a way to do this, and you're blowing it. You don't let the old guy QB, who's no longer at MVP level, hold you hostage. Move on. They're still waiting on an answer from him.
Yeah, they are.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a joke. Joke! Joke!
So, yeah, Derek Carr's the first. Bryce Young, another quarterback, as we mentioned earlier, weighed in at
Tiny Tim.
Jeffrey Wright's measurements, basically.
I think Jeffrey's got him on girth, size, thickness.
Yeah, I think so. I think Jeffrey might have him beat there. But
I think we all do, probably.
But yeah, he I guess it was underwhelming. 5'10", like 204.
Just put him on that John Jones diet. Did you see him? That mm-hmm. man went up to heavyweight.
Yes.
Yeah.
He big boy now, mm-hmm. like his brother. Mm-hmm. Chandler, that sorry Raider you got.
We don't talk about that.
Well, we know. You spent 15 minutes on his signing and what it was going to do for your Raiders this season.
I would rather have John Jones at this point.
You would rather have John Jones at defensive end beefed up to 260 like he was this weekend.
Yeah.
Dude, as you said, nothing but rice, steaks. Yeah. He fattened. That's that good stuff.
Yeah.
That's when it's fun to eat, to fatten. When you're eating like that, to fatten up, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. And he submitted the guy in the first round, right?
Stood down. Now, this is
you,
it.
You watch this.
Now you put the technique.
You watch this from Sugar
with
House.
With the extra strength.
Y'all, I know
Sugar
he.
Sugar Shack, John.
You watch that
more
from Sugar
on that
Shack?
Later.
Richardson, I know, might be a workout wonder, but, buddy, did you watch that? Like, that guy is a stud.
Oh, yeah, he
it's
is.
My Anthony Richardson.
He looks the part. There's no question.
I mean, when you watch his workout, it is a feat of humanity.
Yeah, but I try to tune all that stuff out because it just doesn't
John
matter.
John did that with Paxton.
Yeah, like
he
it just does
all the measurables.
You can look good.
You liked Paxton's stride.
How was Paxton's stuff in those workouts? I don't recall.
He's good.
He worked out good.
Yeah, he threw the ball really well.
What about that Wonderlic, though, bro?
Yeah, I mean, the Wonderlic is a different, you know. We don't know Anthony Richardson yet either.
Yeah, good point.
But
I like that he said, did you see Florida, did you see our receivers this season? When they were questioning his numbers. He just threw his old program right on under the bus.
Yeah, see, that's a red flag.
Yeah, that is a red flag.
Like Derek Carr saying all the right things makes any difference, get you any more wins or a Super Bowl. He said all the right things.
Okay, so.
All these guys, what they put in their bodies, what we do to play the game.
Okay, so we're starting off.
And what good did that do?
We're starting off a tenure with a guy who takes no accountability for his poor play.
Just say, nobody said that.
That's
nobody
what he said. That's what he did.
Nobody didn't take any accountability.
If he says you didn't, did you not see our receivers?
Did Florida have?
What am I supposed to do?
Did Florida have stud receivers or not? Did they have anybody?
I mean, did Tom Brady have stud receivers for
Tom
the majority
Brady,
of his career?
You comparing them to the best, ain't it?
I'm just saying,
man,
bro.
You went awful extreme.
Did
with
you
that?
Ever? See-
this man said Tom Brady, y'all, 7 Super Bowls, best ever done it. Wow.
Did you ever hear him say, man, did you see how we had
Tom
him and Dola?
Tom will take a crap on a dude publicly.
Well, yeah,
tell
like.
Him, this is what you, that's all, he doesn't care. What are you talking about? And he had earned that at that point.
Hey, bro, when I'm drafting a quarterback
this
in the top five, I
that
want you to be, and I'd expect you to be
all that.
One of the greatest ever, period.
This you going to end up with, I guarantee you now, he's going to end up with Anthony Richardson, and he'll be spinning this a whole different way come April.
No.
When he's got him, you will have talked yourself into it,
no,
telling us then how
I'm
much
gonna,
of a stud he was.
I'm going to hate it until he shows me he's good, in which case I'll forgive him, but I will not like it. I will not be a fan of it, you know, because in the end, your job as a quarterback is to don't look at the clock, man. The clock's fine.
No, I like looking at it when you start talking quarterbacks. Exactly.
But
didn't
yeah.
you tell me Mac Jones was going to be good?
I did.
Yeah, yeah. You had him ahead of Fields.
I had
that
him
was a
ahead
bad,
of Zach, I had Zach Wilson last,
weekend.
Though, in fairness to me.
Oh, we all did. Whole NFL had
except
that.
The Jets.
Every person that watched had Zach Wilson last.
Except the Jets. I mean, somebody had to draft that dude. You know?
He was the what did they call him?
The MILF assassin or something. MILF.
No, the Mormon Manziel is what they call him. And he kind of has been. I think I heard that from Jeffrey Wright. I'm blaming him.
Yes, that's
I don't fair. Think. I don't think. I don't think that's. I think. I think that was kind of a nickname.
What did you just call?
I thought he was talking about the other, but I should have known. I should have known he was going to say that. I thought that's what you're talking about. That's he's known more for the off the field stuff than
I'm sorry.
You missed what John said, bro.
I thought he was known as the MILF of assassin or hunter or something. I really did. But I don't.
When he does that, Brad, I try.
You're
not.
Trying to move along. I heard you. Exactly. It was pretty. That was a pretty good one, though.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I know John.
You remember that deal, though?
I think
John actually is closer to it.
Yeah, I think there was some stories.
It was
there.
The mom's best friend.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was exactly right. The mom's best friend.
I don't remember. Or
was it his best friend's mom? It was his best friend's mom. It wasn't his, or was it? It was one of the two.
It was like speculated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Google it.
It was either his mom's best friend or his best friend's mom.
Yeah. Yeah. It got dicey, man.
So either way, it was a mom somewhere, is the report, was the speculation. So I thought that's what you were referring to. Because he hasn't been relevant on the football field.
He could get $40 million, though, either franchise or a contract.
They ain't.
Oh, he's awful.
They can't.
He showed zero leadership. You talk about no accountability. John was just speaking earlier. Remember after games when he said, "Hey, what's your role in this?" He said, "None."
I
ain't got any of this. Nah, he's your starting quarterback.
Yeah, but see, if Anthony Richardson says that, man, it's like, hey, man, he's keeping it real.
Right.
He's keeping it at 100.
No, you go crazy when he says it. Zach's fine to be a first rounder.
No, I never said that. I've never been on board with Zach Wilson, period. And I'm not on board with Anthony Richardson. The quarterback you know I want is C.J. Stroud. That's who my eyes are on. If we're going to draft one, let's go get C.J. Stroud. He's put together. He's smart. He's got an arm. He can run. Let's go. Let me get C.J. I'll be happy with that. I can build around him, throw the Devontae connection. Devontae, C.J. be great. Outside of that, I want no parts of Levis. We're not going to trade up high enough to get Bryce. So,
well, whatever y'all do is going to fail. So that's what you need to be focused on.
Well, I appreciate it. So we'll just go ahead and shut down the operations. We'll fold up, join the USFL maybe. You know, just stop trying. Derek Carr, New Orleans Saint. That's going to do it for us in the rundown. We'll come back. Got some respect burgers that we're going to hand out. I've got a big disrespect glizzy to hand out for a college basketball coach who has just lost his ever-loving mind. Apparently, in his job. So we'll do that when we come back. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
John has a fair amount at stake if he wants to get the Supermax.
It's a $40 million difference.
Yeah.
So 190 to 230 in terms of the projection.
I think this very well Saturday could have cost him $40 million.
I agree. I think it is extremely dicey for him now to make it all NBA team. I would probably bet against it.
Memphis is home of the Jeff Calkins Show. Weekday mornings from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. Anywhere on the Odyssey app, including Comcast Xfinity TVs and all smart speakers. By saying, play 92.9 ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.